So today is the 2nd of March, 2020. It is the 7th of Adar.
6th.
Oh, 6th of Adar. I'm sorry, Monday. 6th of Adar. Erev Zayin Adar. Tafshin Pei. Zayin Adar is Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit. It's also a big Chevra Kedisha day. You're
going to this program tonight in the synagogue here. They're having a program.
Here or where?
Yeah.
Here, like in LMS?
Yeah, LMS.
A Chevra Kedisha dinner?
It's sponsored by the Chevra Kedisha, Rabbi Yehuda Sfei is speaking.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What's the connection with the Chevra Kedisha?
It's Moshe's yahrzeit. Why specifically is this day? I knew this at some point. Do you know why they choose? Because I think Moshe took care of the Atzmos Yosef. Is that it?
The bones of Joseph.
Maybe that's it. I don't remember. There is a specific connection that Moshe has a Chevra Kedisha. I remember my first year here, they called me to speak. There was a Chevra Kedisha dinner. I went to speak. I was like, no idea what to talk about, but I figured something out for that night. Okay. So we begin Parak Tesvav Mufarshim Day. So at the end of 7 years, so we get to the period of Shemitah. Now there is a... where do we want to start here? So there is in the third... So this section of Shemitah is not about the idea of laying the land fallow. Rather, it's about the idea of annulment of loans. So the Pasuk tells us that you have to annul the loans and don't afflict your friend. Lo yigos esrei eyu v'esachiv. Don't harass your friend. Because the Shemitah, rather, es hanachri tigos. Rather, the nachri you should harass. Meaning, you should continue to collect your money from him. So Rashi, so lest you doubt whether that means you should actually go ahead and do this positively, says Rashi, zu mitzvahs asei. Yeah, that's a mitzvah. Not just are you allowed to harass your friend, your non-Jewish people, that you can continue to collect the money from them, but rather it is a mitzvahs asei to harass them. So the Rabban says, Rabban quotes Rashi and says, no, Perusho mitzvahs asei ba'achicha, hanachri tigos v'lo achicha. He says, no. The Rabban says, and Rashi's getting this from a Sifri, so the Rabban says that's not pshat in the Sifri. Rather, it means that the mitzvahs asei is also by your brothers, hanachri tigos v'lo achicha, v'lav sheba michal asei asei, that the nachri you are allowed to harass, but not your brother. And that is the mitzvah asei. I mean, the mitzvah asei is to harass your, is to positively only harass, only have the opportunity to harass non-Jews, but not, and not Jews. So therefore, it's a positive as well as a negative mitzvah. But the Ramban is also claiming, though, that there is no actual mitzvah to harass non-Jews. Shaninu sham lo yigos liten alav lo tase chazur v'shanu esanachri tigos du mitzvah tase lomar sha'over alav ba'asev lo tase. So what is the value of that? Meaning it's really only about Jews. That if you go ahead and harass the Jews, you have violated a lo tase, you have violated a negative commandment, and you have also violated a positive commandment. So in terms of the scoreboard, it counts as double. The same thing exists with regards to the idea of collecting ribbis. That there, it says the Ramban that you are allowed to charge ribbis to a nachri, mitzvahs ase v'lachicha lo tashich, and you cannot charge your brother, your Jews ribbis. Zum mitzvahs lo tase. V'hu kamosha pirash mitzvahs ase v'lachicha v'kein pirasham rashi, lo she mitzvah lahavos lo nachri b'ribbis klal. He says not that there is a mitzvah to lend, to specifically lend to a non-Jew on ribbis, that says the Ramban that there's no specific mitzvah if a non-Jew wants, hey, can I borrow a dollar? I want to get a soda. So there's no mitzvah to say to him, yeah, I'll lend you the dollar, but you have to give me a dollar and a quarter back, right? That's besides the interpersonal relationship challenges, right? That also is just that the Ramban claims that there's no mitzvah to do so. Well, you could, yeah. I mean, you. Right. Now the Rashi, however, does have a very powerful ally for his position, or at least what the Ramban is claiming is his position, and that is the Rambam. The Rambam seems to assume that there is a mitzvah. The Torah is actually saying that there is a positive mitzvah to take the opportunity to, after Shemitah goes by, to go and get the non-Jews to pay their money back. And that would actually be a fulfillment of this mitzvah, to contrast the our actions with Jews as opposed to our actions with non-Jews. I mean, if you're in the club, you get these special perks. If you're not in the club, you don't. Yeah.
Are you saying that the Shemitah and the Ribbis, I mean,
They're two different things, but the Ramban is putting the two of them together and saying the same idea. I mean, in terms of the distinctions between the way we treat Jews versus the way we treat non-Jews, it's the same halacha, that the Ramban is saying that there's no actual mitzvah to go and either request your money back from the non-Jews or to charge them rivis. But the Rambam, however, is saying that there is. So Asan Shtei Mitzvos Mamish, Lingo says Nakri Hosbar Ribis, Tabalashan says Shinu is Sifri. He says he just misunderstood what the Sifri was saying. And he says the same thing with other mitzvahs. The idea that you should eat kosher chickens is a mitzvah asay, and not to eat non-kosher birds or kosher food, specifically the positive and negative. All that is doing is saying that there's an asay as well as a lot asay. There's sort of a double earnings for these things. That's what the Ramban continues. It's the same thing by all of these. There's no specific mitzvah asay to go after the non-Jews, just like there's no specific asay to eat kosher chicken. However, others would say, no, that is the mitzvah asay. That the mitzvah asay is to eat kosher as opposed to eating non-kosher. It actually gets into the whole, if you check the recesses of various shir websites, so I think, I'm sure I ever gave this shir before, at least recorded, but there's a whole interesting topic of cannibalism in halacha. What exactly is the violation? Did I do this?
No, but I remember something about the. I mean, there's no forbidding
your eating. So this is my myth. Did I do it?
I think I heard it.
It could be. Okay. What exactly is the prohibition of cannibalism for Jews? So you have three choices: the mitzvah lo tase, mitzvah ase, or perhaps even nothing. That it's not considered food, and therefore it's not considered under prohibitions. You can also say it's a lo tase, and that human beings don't chew their cud, and nor do they have split feet. But you can say that maybe that's only animals that we're concerned about. Or the other possibility is that it's a mitzvah asay. I think it's actually the position of the Ramban, that it's a mitzvah asay to eat kosher food, and a person is not considered kosher food, and therefore you would not be a fulfillment of that mitzvah asay. So that's the bottom line there. Okay. Anyways, so let's continue on. So the pasuk here in pasuk Dalet has this strange text, the language, where he says that Efes ki lo yeh b'cha evyon, that it seems like saying in the possibility that there will not be amongst you a poor person. It's suggesting that possibility would exist. Now, Rashi immediately says that later on, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, you will not have this scenario. He says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikavars, I will never eradicate the poor people from the land. So within six psukim, there seems to be this about face. Do we say that there is that there's this possibility for that the war on poverty will one day be successful and there won't be poor people around? Or do we say, as the Pasuk Yud Aleph, that they will always be poor people because otherwise, you know, who's going to earn salaries from these organizations that are attempting to promulgate that idea, right? So that is the so that's the question. So the Ramban deals with that actually in Pasuk Yud Aleph, which we'll get to. But just while I'm on the spot here, the Sforno offers the following idea. Efes ki lo yevcha evyon. He says, Afal pisha marti she teshamit yarcha, hine lo yikari bachem ish lova she tetzarech leshamit. That even though I said that you shall relax your hand, that you will not go and try to recoup the money that you've lent out, hopefully there won't be anybody that you will need to be mishami. I mean, hopefully there won't be anybody that is in arrears and is going to be holding back from paying you. He says, And he says, and this happened. When did this happen? During the time of Yehoshua. That when they first came into the land, everybody got their property and everybody earned their money. And therefore, there was no need to for this mitzvah to be applicable because everybody paid back whatever debts they had. Most people earned a living. However, it was later on that this did not work out. Now, this idea of it not working out is due, meaning the pasuk lays itself out. You will not have poor people because everybody is listening to Hashem and everybody is doing exactly what they need to do, and therefore you're not going to have poor people. So the Sforno says, yeah, so that happened during the period of Yehoshua. That happened right off the bat. But after that, it wasn't going to take place. That's how he understands the seeming contradiction between those two psukim. Another way to understand, maybe we'll go back to the Or HaChaim, but just to continue with this question of what seems to be a contradiction between these two psukim, so it also shows up in the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, where it says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev ha'aretz, right? You're not going to stop having evyonim in the land. Therefore, I command you that you should open up your hands and give out tzedakah. So says the Ramban, Harbe Meforshim, many Meforshim. Now, many Meforshim in this context, at least on our page, is the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says this pshat, Amru shelo yechdal ha'evyon mikerev ha'aretz, that they will not cease having poor people. Why? Be'echa mikol hazmanim, at any time. Ki liolam yeh evyon va'aretz, because there always will be poor people in the land, and it's a little bit depressing. Shegaloi ha'yon lefanu shelo yasu ma'shamar lehem, because Hashem knows that the Jews are never actually going to do what he told them to do. Right? Pasuk Dalet is saying, you're not going to have poor people if you listen to everything I tell you to do. So, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem says, it's never going to be that you're not going to have poor people. Why? Says the Ibn Ezra. Because we're never going to achieve that. That's not going to be able to be reached. Or at least, Hashem knew it's not going to be reached. So says the Ramban, he says I don't think that's correct. It's just that the Torah is giving a remez to what's going to be. It's not a nevuah beferish. Rather, it's not being taught as a nevuah, as a prophecy. Rather, it's being taught as a warning that if you do everything I tell you to do, there won't be poor people. And if you don't, there will be poor people. That's the way the Ramban understands it. That it's not going to be that, I mean, that there will always be poor people, says the Ramban, that it will always be possible for there to be poor people. That we're not going to say that there will never, ever, ever be poor people. Right? It's just that it will. And maybe for a little period there won't be, but then there will be again. So, v'hiskir ze bavur shiftiach shelo yeh behem evyon b'shamrim kol ha'mitzvos. That there's a promise that there won't be the poor people when you keep all the mitzvos. Amar aval yadati ki lo yu kol hadoros kol yimei olam. But all this pasuk is simply saying that it won't happen that in all the generations for all the days shomrim kol mitzvah ad shelo nitzarech klal tzavos ha'evyon. That to the point that there won't be any point in the future where you will need to talk about poor people again. Because it is possible that in days you will be able to find it, and I'm commanding you what to do if you do find them. Right? So there's three choices here. Says the Sforno that the way to understand the two seemingly contradictory psukim is one of them is talking about right when they got into Eretz Yisrael, one's talking about later. The second possibility is the Ibn Ezra, which the Ramban quotes as saying that, yeah, the reality is that it's not going to happen that everybody is going to be tzaddikim and there will be poor people. And the Ramban is saying that whatever it is, the situation could come up again where there will be poor people. That even if for a generation people are willing to do it and we eradicate poor people, right, that's not going to happen in the next generation. Or it's not going to happen everywhere. That could be that, and Ramban continues on, it says that could be Jews are going to be spread out throughout the corners of the land, and that's where there's going to be poor people. That it's going to happen, and therefore the mitzvah is still going to be applicable, or it needs to be learned, and potentially applicable for points in the future. Okay, so those are three approaches to understanding that seeming contradiction in those psukim. What's the difference?
Well, you're not eradicating the people. You're eradicating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We
fine. It's discriminating.
Providing for them. Being provided.
Okay. That's right. It's human right. Well, it's human right to be poor. It's human right to be poor and still get everything that you need. Okay. Also along the line of stuck, I want to go back to Pasuk Zayin. So in Pasuk Zayin it says, Ki yevcha evyon mi'achar achecha be'achad she'arecha, from your brothers and in your gates and your land. So Rashi picks up on this and says this is all to develop the hierarchy of giving tzedakah, that you give to your neighbors and your family, that they get first, and the people in your city get first. And then it expands out from there. So says the Or HaChaim. He says, "Omru b'cha ulai shenischavin lirmuz me amram zal." Sh'amru ki tam shebocher Hashem liyaser la'adam biolam azeh bi'suri ha'avoni hava k'dei shebe'emtzuuso yiske chaveru uvefarneso v'hu ma sh'ramaz d'maymar b'cha evyon. Pirish b'sivascha ba'lo ha'oni ha'gadol. That the Gemara tells in Baba Basra that Hashem is going to continue to allow poor people to exist in order to give the opportunity for people to be able to give them. I mean, that is sort of Hashem's delivery mechanism for some people. Some people Hashem delivers by having them be successful in business. Some people Hashem delivers by allowing them to have four jobs at once. And some of them Hashem delivers by saying, okay, you're going to be poor people, but I've invested money with various delivery people who's going to give it to you. And that should be our perspective. I mean, the term charity is a somewhat of a misnomer. Charity is, people translate tzedakah as charity, but that's a little bit off, because charity implies that I don't have to give it. I'm going to give it out of my own free will and my own good-hearted nature. Tzedakah comes from the term tzedek, which means righteousness or justice, really. Right? So poverty justice. We have to make sure that is considered just, that not everybody has the same opportunities, and therefore we're going to help those people out. So he comes here, Achaim, and continues, Biachad Biachacha, so perish lo tachsho biruso, evyon shehu pachos dashuhu, miam yachlim sheba achacha, v'inu chacha miavoni. One second, where do I want to do here? He quotes the idea of having the different lines. Right, so Or HaChaim says this is spelled out in this way in order to show that there's different, that there are gradations in terms of who your preferences are in order to give money to. But he actually adds in, oh, Yirtza Omer Be'artzecha, why did it say in your land, perish, afilu be'artzecha shu makama oshel chol Yisrael? That even if you're in a place that is considered a wealthy area, and it seems everybody has money, still, afal pikin yimsa be'evyon, you will always be able to find poor people. The Or HaChaim darshans that out from the Be'artzecha, that you will always have a mitzvah of tzedakah, even Be'artzecha, even in your land, even if you think that everybody's doing okay. It's not true, not everybody is doing okay. That's one suggestion that Or HaChaim has. And then he says, Va'amar b'cha, ki'e b'cha evyon. What does it mean from that? Amongst you, the poor. Perish besibascha, ki'avonu senu harichu kitzanu. Gam remez betevas becha, ki'u evyon banu shemis avim matai yavo legaleinu. That there is a hint that is a poor person amongst you that is desiring when will our geula come. And go and learn from what our Rabbi Seinu said. The Meiser Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. What has Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Melech Mashiach shalu es Yisrael b'yolam. That when he saw Melech HaMashiach, he asked about the Jews in the world. V'amar lo Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, when Yeshua ben Levi met the Mashiach, Mashiach says to him, hey, how are the Jews doing? To which Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi responds by saying, Kihim Yoshim Mitzapim B'yasam. He says, well, they're all sitting and waiting for you to come. So the Cheshashama Cain, when he heard this, Gah hachasi b'b'chia rabba mitshukaso lavu legalam. And at that point, when Mashiach heard this, he started crying because of his desire in order to come and redeem the Jewish people. So it's an interesting story, meaning that's part of the desire that this will continue on until that point comes. Then he quotes the story. Now, and there is a footnote here, Likutei Aros Al Or HaChaim, right? Where would I find the story? It's a Maisa about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So I would assume it's in a Gemara. I assume it's in a Medrash. Says the note here, says it's not. It says we don't know where this actually came from. There is a story in Maseches Ksuvos about Rabbi Yeshua going into Gan Eden. No. That story is in Chagiga. This is in Ksuvos, okay? And he actually writes there about what he sees in Gan Eden and Meganim. But this story about him meeting the Melech Mashiach and having this discussion, it's found at the end of the Sefer Shibuli Haleket. Who wrote the Shibuli Haleket? Not sure. But he is quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is his halacha sefer in the Beis Yosef. So I'm not sure. You got to find the end of it. It says, "Uvishanas tafrei shlamid vav nitfasa bevorsa besuf agudas bereishis." There's a sefer agudas bereishis was printed there. And the Zohar, "Isa b'chol rosh chodesh v'shabbos omrim hanishamush began eden l'mashiach tzar di Yisrael v'gavu bocha aleihem." That there is also a statement in the Zohar that on every rosh chodesh, the neshamos in Gan Eden go and talk to Mashiach about the tzar that Bnei Yisrael is having, and they encourage him to go, and they cry about the fact that he can't go. So there is some story about this out there, but this actual story that the Or HaChaim is quoting, it's unclear where exactly that is being quoted from. One more thought here. And that is a sforno towards the end of the parak. That's it. Towards in parak in pasuk yutes. So in pasuk yutes says kol habachor achar shebir mine. So what's this? So there is this last section here, perhaps the most famous part of this parak, because it's read on the last day of every yontif. So kol habachor, and it's a little bit odd because the last day of every yontif is these four is about the shalosh regalim. The other aliyahs all have to do with the shalosh regalim. The first aliyah that goes to the kohen is about bechoros, the mitzvah to give bechoros, and it just seems to be somewhat misplaced here. Why is it here? It's talking about tzedakah. It's talking about when you free a slave, you're supposed to give him a parting gift. You're supposed to give him some things in order to be able to restart his life. Then it talks about the mitzvah bechoros, which is the idea that the bechoros are given to the kohen to be offered as a korban. So why is that here? So says the Sforno, so kola b'chor achar she, and what does that have to do with Yontif? What does it have to do with, and then it gets into the Shalosh Regalim about coming to Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim. So why is that and offering Karbanos there? So why is this here? So he says achar shebir mine chesed b'tavua v'hu ma'aser ani, that after we talked about the types of chesed with the wheat, which is talking about the ma'aser ani, uvamos v'hu shmitas k'safim v'hatzdak, as well as with money that you're going to stop the debts and give tzedakah, and other kinyanim ba'anakas Eved Ivri, and the other kinyanim in that you give things over to the Eved Ivri, bir mitzvahs asher behen hoda l'kel yisal. So then we talk about mitzvahs that have to do with thanking a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you are on the giving end of this side and not on the receiving end. So vehim matan habachoros, which is like giving the bachoros, haroy l'bali hamakna lehodos ki miyado hamakna lanu, that the owner of the flock gives thanks to Hashem that he is one of the owner of this flock. And the Chag HaMatzos, Laodos, to give thanks on the Geula, and the Korban Pesach, and the Mitzos, and the Spring, and the Omer HaTenufa, as well as the cutting of the Omer. The Chag HaShavuos, Laodos al Shavuos, Chakos Kitzir, Sheshamar Lanu. And also the on Shavuos is to thank for the weeks where we've started cutting the harvest. And Chag HaSif, which is Sukkot, is talking about the gathering festival, Laodos al Asif, to give thanks for the gathering. And all of them talk about a different gift to the master. That we don't appear in front of Hashem empty-handed. And therefore it doesn't mention the specific days and dates here. It does mention the seasons to indicate that these are the seasonal types of things that are given for those different parts of the year. Okay, so and then the next part deals with the actual mitzvos of those holidays. Okay, stop here. Good day.